We're going through the seven definitions of the word tefillah, and we're up to the fourth one. Last week, we spoke about tefillah in terms of hefser v'sachanunim, which is beseeching and continuous asking. And the definition of tefillah, most of these definitions are remarkably coming from that one pasuk of Naftali's bracha. Naftali l'kim naftalti. The word Naftali, the name Naftali, which the Targum understands is a lashon of tefillah, meaning tefillah davening, and all the interpretations, the explanations of that word in Rashi, is basically the source of all these different ideas of what tefillah is, what tefillah means, and it's all wrapped up into the name of Naftali. So up to Dalet, we're up to the fourth definition of tefillah. Are there any more of those pages? If not, I'm sorry, I'll make more next time. You can look on the next page, I have enough. Hashem Tefillah, you have the first one there, and the page that begins Dalet. Tefillah, he badlus. This definition of tefillah is that tefillah means separation, distinction. Separation, distinction, isolation. Where do we see that? So this is found in the Siddur of the Ksava Kabbalah. Hashem tefillah nigzar mishem palol. So the Ksava Kabbalah explains that the word tefillah comes from the root palol, pei lamed lamed. Shoshosh shtei os yos pal. And the root of this palol is pei lamed. Asher b'tosef es hei, in yono havdola hafrasha ubreira. So the Ksava Kabbalah says that this word Palol, which is Pei Lamed, is the essential root is Pei Lamed. When you add on the letter He, it means separation and distinction, choosing, distinguishing. As it says in the Torah of Heflesi Bayomahu as Eretz Goshen, are going to strike throughout all of Eretz Mitzrayim. However, Heflesi Bayomahu as Eretz Goshen, that Eretz Goshen will be separate. Eretz Goshen will not be affected. So here we see from the Ksava Kabbalah the meaning of tefillah. The meaning of tefillah is distinction and separation. Again, we're going to go very quickly today, just to go through to finish up the definitions. We're going to be spending Mitzvah months on each one. So this is just a by way of Hakdama. What does separation and distinction have to do with tefillah? So we understand that the most basic requirement, the most basic prerequisite that a person should be able to stand up and daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that to a certain extent the person should separate himself and tear himself away from a preoccupation with physical things. As long as the person is holding on to his tchotchkes, to his things of this world, tefillah can't work. Tefillah doesn't work. It doesn't mean that a person has to become ascetic and go off to a cave somewhere. But the Shas Tefillah, the moment, the time of Tefillah, a time when a person, as we've been speaking about, places himself squarely in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stands in the presence of Hashem. So the time of Tefillah is a time of Hibadlus, a time of separation, of Bitl HaChomer, of trying to diminish, to weaken, to dim one's preoccupation with physical things. Therefore, we find in the Gemara, do you have enough chairs there? Therefore, you find in the Gemara, there are seats over here. Therefore, we find in the Gemara that the Chassidim Harishonim, that in the earlier days, the Tzaddikim used to spend an hour before davening meditating. And an hour after davening, and when they were finished with tefillah, they would spend another hour absorbing. And the interpretation of the Rishonim, of what is the meaning of that time of meditation that preceded davening, it was a time when the tzaddikim would strip away from themselves any attachment to physical things. Now that's something which is hard for us to understand, and we'll talk about it in Mitzvah more. But this is one of the definitions of tefillah. Like it says, v'hiflesi Vayomahu es Eretz Goshen, that Hashem will set aside, will separate the land of Goshen, that it will not be subject to the plagues of Mitzrayim. So tefillah is from a lashon of v'hiflesi. v'hiflesi, separation and distinction. So we understand that really this means two things. Really this means two things. First of all, it means it's a means and an end. In other words, in order for a person to be able to daven, you have to first separate yourself to some extent from the physical world. In order to be able to daven, it's necessary, it's a means to come to the end, which is tefillah. And also, the tachlis of tefillah, one of the purposes, one of the most exalted purposes and goals of tefillah, is for a person to weaken his hold or her hold on physical life and to become more of a spiritual person. That's one of the goals of tefillah. So here the definition, the fourth definition, for those of you that don't have a sheet, I'm sorry, from the next page I'll have more of. But here the fourth definition of tefillah as separation and distinction. So together in terms of the means, in order that the davening should be strengthened, one has to try to separate oneself from physical things. And that also is the tachlis, the goal of tefillah, to come to more of a sense of spirituality. And that's what we see from the second thing here, which is the Rambam number two. I'm going to move quickly. Number two is the Rambam. Well, the Rambam writes, Vada, you should know. So the Rambam is Mor Nevuchim. This is the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Where he writes, Vada, you should know. Shemaisei ha'avodos ha'elu. The Rambam says that the purpose of all of these acts, kulam, kikriyas ha'tar, like reading the Torah, v'hatfila and davening, ein tachlis kavanosam rak, the entire purpose, he says, of reading the Torah and of davening is to train oneself to become preoccupied in the mitzvahs of Hashem. To teach a person to move further and further away, to be able to turn oneself away from physical life. Again, this doesn't mean in any kind of an extreme way, but to separate oneself to the degree that one can achieve a posture of being in God's presence. That a person should become completely detached while davening from physical things and to be able to concentrate on that which is spiritual. This is brought out in the language of the Nefesh HaChaim in number three. The Nefesh HaChaim says, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, Beis amdo lispal elefnei kono yisbarach shemo, at the time when a person stands to daven before his creator, yafshit gufo me'al nafsho, you must strip away your physical body that conceals the soul. And we're going to talk about how to do this in Mitzvah Shem. You have to strip away the physical veil, the shell, and come to that point of spirituality within yourself. Ad sheyukva b'machshavto limais haguf, until a person for the time of davening to a certain degree loathes and is disgusted with physical existence. Kilo einu balguf klal, as if you don't have a body at all, as if you can't even feel your body. Rak nafsho levada hi hamedaberes tfilos. It's as if you can feel your neshama, your soul, saying the tefillah itself, not the body. Your neshama is saying the tefillah. So what's going on over here, again, we're going to talk about this in Mitzvah Shem at great length. What Reb Chaim Volozhiner, what the Rambam is saying, is that as long as a person is attached to any kind of a physical image, even if it's to a certain extent, even a religious physical image, it's impossible to become connected in the deepest way to Hashem. Let me explain a little bit more. The Baal HaTanya Zecher Tzadik Livracha tells us that it was absolutely necessary for the Torah to be given in the desert. This is one of the teachings of the Maharal. Why was it necessary for the Torah to be given in the Midbar in the desert? Because the desert is completely empty and barren. It's completely empty. It's completely separated. In other words, it's a physical place. The desert is a physical place within the confines of physical existence that to the greatest degree possible has achieved separation from physical life. It's not a place that can support life. It's anti-life, the desert. There can't be life in the desert. So why would Hashem give the Torah davka in a place of that's anti-life? If the Torah is the HaTorah's Chayim, right? The Torah is the Torah of life. Why would Hashem give the Torah in the desert? So the Maral and the Alter Rebbe explain, Sfasemes, because no place else is willing to receive the Torah, because it's preoccupied with its own idea of life. I've spoken about this a great deal in the past for students that have been in classes. As long as the mind and the heart are cluttered with other things, one can't receive the word of Hashem, the Devar Hashem. One can't connect. This doesn't mean to say that the world is evil. Chas v'shalom. The last person in the world that would say is the Baal Tanya, that tzaddikim didn't believe that the world is evil. The tzaddikim believe that the world is very beautiful and very good. But at the moment that a person wants to daven, davening requires a sense of desolation, a feeling of desolation, a feeling of emptiness. That's the requirement of tefillah. In order for tefillah to work, you must be separated from things of this world. Also, that's why David HaMelech says, tefillah la'ani, the prayer of the impoverished person, tefillah la'ani, the poor person. Lifnei Hashem yishbaseichel, kiyatov, the tefillah of the impoverished person. So because the desert wasn't cluttered, you know how it is when you want to teach a child something. Children are able to learn languages and things very quickly, whereas adults can't. That's when it comes to information. When it comes to adapting to a new style, a new way of life for an adult, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. Why? Because we're committed to something already. The desert is not committed to anything. The desert is not, it's empty. Therefore, it can receive the Torah. So Baal Tanya writes in his Siddur, and in Likutei Torah, that as long as the Jewish people were depending upon sacrifices, upon korbanos, as exalted, as amazing as korbanos are, as long as the Jewish people were depending upon sacrifices, we really didn't know how to daven. Davening only came in the absence of korbanos. When a Jewish person is in a state of midbar, he becomes a medaber. When one feels a sense of desertness, of desolation, he begins to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Until that time, as long as you're holding on to all the things, as long as you have everything, you're comfortable. So one can rely upon things and people. So for davening to work, there must be this sense of hibadlus, of separation. And that's what tefillah means. From the word of v'hifleisi bayomahu. You'll be separate and distinct, set aside. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim, the Rambam, are talking about, of stripping away the physical, which is a concept that, again, it's very difficult for people like us to understand. But on our level, to be a medaber, to be one who can speak to the Baruch Shalom, to some degree you have to feel a sense of midbarius, of emptiness. Only a person who's empty can be a medaber. So you understand that even korbanos, even sacrifice, which is one of the most profound ways to serve Hashem, we don't even understand what a korban is, how amazing a korban is, a sacrifice. So even a korban, you see that the Nevi'im to some extent were upset about the korbanos. Not, God forbid, the korban itself, but that the people seem to have been relying too heavily upon that physical intermediary with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the truth is that in order to come close to Hashem, there could be nothing at all. Nothing at all. That's why I explained, I think 2 weeks ago I mentioned this, that's why the tzaddikim explain, when it comes to the way that we daven, that we daven in a way that the husband and wife shouldn't sit together. And it's for, aside from anything that has to do with sneers, that's of course an issue. But let's imagine such a situation where it would only be a husband and wife would have their own, each husband and wife in shul would have their own little compartment, their own little cubicle, and nobody would be next to any other, no man would be next to another woman or woman next to another man. It would be perfectly tzniyazdik, and a man would be sitting next to his wife. So l'chara, there's not really a problem of tzniyaz. A husband is allowed to sit next to his wife, and they're in a cubicle, there's nobody, and the Aron Kodesh is in front, and everybody would have their own little separate compartments. So one might think that there's no problem, because the whole idea of sitting separately is that there should be tzniyazdik, it should be modest. So the tzaddikim say that person has missed the whole point. Since the nature of a husband and wife, Be'ezras Hashem, in a good relationship, is that one relies very heavily upon the other, so to sit next to the person that you rely upon during davening is the antithesis of tefillah. Tefillah only can work with a sense of being alone. And because you tend to rely heavily upon that person, emotionally, very, very much, therefore you're not a medaber because you're not in the midbar. If you're next to the person that you love, then how could you be in a desert? That's not true. You're not in a desert. But when you're alone, you know, some of the best places you'll ever daven is, I mean, it's nice to be in shul and it's a hamisha place and you have your friends, but you know that if you, when you're in a place where you know absolutely no one and you're a little bit lonely and you're not quite sure what to do, you know that those are the tefillahs that are the most precious tefillahs that we ever send up. When you're very comfortable in shul, so you feel, even if you're sitting just among your friends, the other women or the men are sitting with the men, but there's a sense of tzibur, which is important, but one relies a little bit that mistama, the other person is davening well for me. I'm yaitzeh. So this is the idea on a very simple level, which we'll come back to a great length, that tefillah requires hibadlus, and therefore one of the definitions of tefillah is v'hifleisi, of being separate. We'll come back to that, Bezer Hashem. The fifth definition of tefillah, Bezer Hashem, we'll finish the introduction today. The fifth definition of tefillah is that tefillah means machshava, thought. The word tefillah in Hebrew means machshava. Where do we see that? We see that from the one who, if he wouldn't have been in the world, we would see very little. That's the Maharal Miprag. In number one, he writes, Shekasher tis boinein b'loshen tefillah. The Maharal says that if you study carefully the word tefillah, humiloshen palal, it comes from the word pei lamed lamed, v'yamod pinchas v'yipalal. What does that mean? That Pinchas stood up, v'yipalal, v'loshen palal, the meaning of pei lamed lamed, k'mo shepirish Rashi, ara'ais panacha, lo palalti. You remember when Yaakov Avinu was saying, I never expected to see you again, right, Yosef? I never thought that I would see you again. Shu loshen machshava. Which Rashi explains when that word was being used, lo palalti, I didn't think. Rashi interprets that the word palalti, pelam alaban, means thinking. Machshava. Ukumesha cause of unklis, and that's the translation of the Aramaic, that's unklis says, to see your face, I wasn't soiv. I didn't think I would see your face again. I didn't think I would see you. In other words, Yaakovina was thinking very deeply, was pondering continuously upon his missing child. And he thought that he would never see him again. So that Maral says, v'nikru hadayon pelilim, that's what we find in Tanakh, that judges are called pelilim. Because to be a judge means to weigh and to measure things inside your mind. So tefillah is from the lashon of palal, which means judging, thinking, concentrating. The Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer used to say that when a Jew walks into shul to daven, or wherever you go to daven, a person should always have a place where he or she davens. Even if it's not in a shul, if it's in your house, you shouldn't daven in different places in your house. You should always try to have the same place. Because that place becomes a place of tefillah. And that place of tefillah has a little bit of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. One should always daven in the same place. So when a person enters into that place of tefillah, of davening, so the Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer said that a person should feel like he's going through customs, like he has to pass through the customs where they check the passport. And what they're checking is your mind. Your mind is being opened up and they take a look and they say, okay, because the mind has to be emptied of things of this world and become free to concentrate on things of the other world. So every time a person goes to the place of tefillah, one has to feel like you're crossing over some border. And you are. You are. You're crossing over a border of physical consciousness and you're entering into a new country, a new domain, a place of spiritual consciousness. And when you cross over that border, the passport that you have to show, that you have to produce in order to cross into that place of spiritual consciousness, that place is the mind. It's the machshava, it's the thoughts. And therefore, if you look at number two, move very quickly. If you look at number two, so the Maral says, Shezeh Lashon Tefillin. Therefore, the Maral says that Tefillah, davening, is the same root, is the same Lashon as Tefillin. It's the same Lashon as Tefillin. The purpose of tefillin that was revealed to us in the Torah is that the tefillin is a way of remembering. The Torah tells us that the tefillin is a way of remembering. that when the tefillin is placed upon the head, so the tefillin arouses remembrance, and the tefillin that is placed on the armor next to the heart also awakens the heart to remember. So that's what the Maral says, that tefillah and tefillin come from the same lashon. Vazikaron hu b'machshav. Remembering is from the realm of thought, of thinking. It's part of the thinking process. Therefore, tefillah, tefillin, it all has to do with machshava, with thought. That's why Mitzvah Hashem, I mean, it's something that we need to talk about, as Hashem will talk about more, that, you know, that there are two distinct worlds within the world of Knesset Yisrael, and I speak about this all the time, the way of Leah and the way of Rachel, and the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that Leah is the world of thought, and Rachel is the world of speech. That itself is a very long discussion. But Leah is the world of Machshava, that's the concealed world, the world of thought, of thinking. Therefore, Leah's name also spells Ohel, which means a tent, something that is inside that is concealed. Thoughts that no one knows about, that's the world of Leah. Therefore, Leah wasn't understood, as I spoke about the first class. And therefore, Leah is the essence of tefillah. It's the input, the intellectual, the spiritual input that one pours into the root of tefillah that comes from the mind. That's from the world of Leah. That's the world of Leah. And because it says regarding tefillah, Chazal tell us that tefillah is dvarim ha'imdim beruma shel olam, that tefillah is the most exalted thing in the world, but the world is mezalzel in tefillah. The world doesn't give tefillah proper recognition. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman from Breslov said that Leah was despised. The world didn't understand Leah because Leah is the world of thought, of tefillah. She didn't reveal all that she was thinking. She was a very concealed person. And this world is a place where things are supposed to be laid out on the table. People only like what they see. People have a hard time imagining what Leah is thinking about. Tefillah is from a very deep place. Therefore, tefillah is not appreciated in this world. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman said on himself that that's why there's so much machlokas against me. So that's why there's so many people that are opposed to my teachings, because Hashem knows that the whole purpose of my existence is to strengthen tefillah in this world. And whoever comes to strengthen tefillah is not liked. Rachel is from the world of action, of ma'isim. Therefore, Rachel is described as being very beautiful. Everybody likes Rachel. Rachel is wonderful. Rachel is Torah. We spoke about that in the first place. Rachel is dibur. Mitzvah Hashem will talk about that more. But Leah is thinking, feeling, and Rachel is speaking and doing. Therefore, we're going to learn, Bez Hashem, that we're going to speak about the deeper connection between Leah Imenu and the world of Machshava, the world of concealment, of thought. And number three over here, a Machshava hi b'chinas ha-neshama. This is from the Nefesh HaChaim. I don't think I wrote it there. It's from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, the first chelik of Nefesh HaChaim, the first shar, the first gate, the 14th chapter, and the Nefesh HaChaim. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that Machshava is b'chinas ha-neshama. This is something that I'm not going to explain now in a length, but the neshama difference. I spoke about this a little bit on Monday in the class on Chassidus, that in general, you've been taught that there are different parts of the body that are most closely associated with different koyches hanefesh, with different functions of the soul. So there are three basic divisions of spirituality. There's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The other two are chaya and yechida. It's not for our discussion now. But nefesh, ruach, and neshama, so the Chacham have taught us that the place of the neshama is the mind. Although there is a disagreement in the Yalkut and Mishlei, whether it's in the mind or it's in the heart, but the conclusion of the Mekubalim is that the neshama is most closely associated with the mind. Therefore, the machshava is a place where neshama is revealed in the most profound level. Machshava is a place of neshama. Shehi hamalamedes la'adam deya ubina b'torah hakadosha. Machshava, the neshama, is continuously teaching the person, is continuously driving the person to understand deeper meaning of Torah. Therefore, the main dwelling place of the neshama is the mind. Kli hamachshava. This is the most exalted quality of human being is his ability to think, the neshama, the koach of thinking, the machshava, the koach of machshava, which is the tefillin shorosh. That's the meaning of the tefillin shorosh. That's the difference between Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David is the tefillin shorosh, and Mashiach ben Yosef is the tefillin shoyad. Mishum will talk more about that. So if you look at Vav 6, now these are all connected. All these definitions are connected. Number Vav is Chibur Udveikus. That the definition of tefillah is attachment. Chibur Udveikus. Connection and attachment. Again, Naftuli Elukim Naftalti. The Bracha of Naftali. So, again, Tegim Unklus translates, Kabel Ba'usi Hashem Bishananusi Bitzlusi. The Lei Menu, in Rochli Menu, is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted my tfilos and my sachanuna, my tfilos, my begging, my beseeching, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted. So Rashi says, and Menachem Ben Suruk says, Pirishot Tzomit Pesil, which means something which shuts tight, something which closes, a bond. Something which binds something, closes something. Chiburim he'es ha'mokam nischabarti imachosi. I have become, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have become attached in a very deep way to my sister. Now how that fits into the life of Rachel and Leah, that's not our discussion now. But the point here is that definition of Naftuli Elukim, of Niftalti, which the Targum says is Tefillah, it means in this Pasuk being attached, being connected to. Roch Limeinu was saying, the attachment with my sister. So that's the definition, number two. Hamisparlel Tzarech Sheyitein Einav Lamata V'Libo Lamala. This is from Rabbeinu Yonah. In his commentary, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah in the commentary on Brachas, in the Gemara Brachas, in the fifth chapter. Hamispalel, when a person is davening, I mentioned this in the first class. Hamispalel tzarech sheyitein einav lamata v'libo lamala. When a person is davening, the eyes should face the ground below, v'libo lamala, and the heart should be turned above. What does that mean? Klomar, Rabbeinu Yonah says, sheyachshov v'libo, that the person should think in his heart, should concentrate. Kilo omed b'shamayim. Imagine yourself standing in shamayim in heaven. V'yoser milibo kol tanuge olam hazeh, and remove from your heart all the pleasures of this world. V'chol anos haguf, from all the pleasures of the body. Kinyan shomru akadmonim, as the earlier ones said, the early masters taught, k'shetirtza l'kavein, if you want to have kavana, if you want to have proper intention while davening. Pshot guvcha. Remove your body. This is what we spoke about before. Me'al nishmascha, from upon your soul. Ula'acha sheyagia lezu ha'machshava. And when you've come to this thought, when you've been able to empty yourself, again, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to talk about this a lot, how to do this. This is all just the definitions. We'll talk about this. When you have come to that place where you've been able to empty your mind of all the things of this world, so initially, think of yourself as sort of dangling in Shemayim. Rabbi Nachman used to say that in order to daven, a person should imagine himself hanging by a thin thread from heaven, with nothing beneath the person, holding the person up. Imagine yourself in such a way, and you'll see you'll be able to daven. And the person can scream and yell, Takarish Baruch Hu, you're dangling from mamash, a thin thread from heaven. So that's the initial thought, that you're in Shemayim completely alone. You're in Shemayim completely alone. There is nothing there. And after you come to that point of thinking, then Yashav Gamkin Kilo Oymer Beis HaMikdash, and try to imagine yourself standing in the Beis HaMikdash, to imagine what the Beis HaMikdash used to look like. Right now they have, you know, you can look at, they have models and things like the Holy Land Hotel, different places, you know, to see an idea of what the Beis HaMikdash used to look like, or whatever the imagination tells you. Shuhu lamata. Vibnesha aide ze, tfilosa ritsuya yoser lifnei amokam. He says, by doing this, your tfila will be most acceptable. Will be most acceptable in the eyes of Hashem. In other words, what what the Benyon is saying here is, tefillah means dveikus. But as we said before, that the physical life of the person, our preoccupations with physical things, stand as an obstruction between oneself and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, one must first remove pshoit guf chomel nishmascha. The second stage is that you find yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how did you end up in the Beis HaMikdash? Last thing you knew, you were flying around somewhere in Shemayim, hanging by a thread, and then suddenly you see yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. Because when a person is attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dveikus Bashem, which comes as a result of tefillah, Dveikus Bashem, transports a person to an entirely different realm of existence. It just takes you to a different place of being. It takes you to a different place. Since that one of the fundamental teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh is that a place. Since that one of the fundamental teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh is that a person is where his thoughts are. The famous story from the Kedushas Levi, the Bedichev, when he went over to a person after davening and gave him a big Shalom Aleichem, he said, "Welcome to Bedichev." So the Jew says, "Rebbe, unfortunately, I've never stepped one foot out of Bedichev my whole life. I'm living in this little town." So Bedichev said, "I know, but during Shemoneh Esrei you were imagining what it's like being in Lemberg, so I wanted to welcome you back to Bedichev." Shalom Aleichem. Can you imagine if the Bedichev would walk around the Auschwitz where he'd be welcoming people back from Le'olenu? This Jew was a Tamimistic person. He was imagining what it's like to be shopping in Lemberg. We wouldn't be so good if the Kedushas Levi were walking around them. Maybe we'd be afraid a little bit. We'd be afraid if the Kedushas Levi were in Shul. So where a person's machshav is, that's where the person is. It's a klal gadol. Where you're thinking, that's where you are. You're mamish in that place where you're thinking. So since this world, we're very earthbound by our thoughts of this world, so what the Svarim HaKadoshim are explaining here, what Rabbi Yonah is showing us, is that tefillah has this, that through tefillah, through the preparations of tefillah, and tefillah itself, when mamish is transported into a different place. You're in a different place. You're in Shemayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a different thing. You're in a different place. You're mamish in a different place. I think they say a story. There's a story from the Mizritch HaMagid. You heard of the Mizritch HaMagid, Mr. Tam. The Mizritch HaMagid was the one who took over after the Baal Shem. He was a very, very deep thinker. All the big tzaddikim were his students, Mizritch HaMagid. All the big tzaddikim, the Kedushas Levi, the Rebbe Elimelech, Baal Tanya, the Haflor, the Rebbe Shmalki, all his students. So there was a certain person who the Magid, the Mizritch HaMagid, had grown up together with. They learned when they were children together in Cheder. And they hadn't seen each other in many, many years. In the meantime, the Mizritch HaMagid had become the famous tzaddik. And this Jew, who was a very fine Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik, happened to be visiting, and he went to see his old friend, the Rebbe Rabbeir, the Mizritch HaMagid. And they gave each other a good hug. And it was time to daven. So they davened, whatever was a mincha. And the Mizritch HaMagid used to daven for a very, very long time. And this other tzaddik davened, but he was finished. You know, he davened, it was quite long, but he couldn't beat the Mizritch HaMagid. Mizritch HaMagid was davening for a long time. So after davening, so the friend said to him, asked the Mizritch HaMagid, he says, Rebbeir, he says, you know, Baruch Hashem, I also learned Kabbalah, and I also know the Kavanus of that Ri. You know, in other words, what takes up a lot of time in davening, we're not going to come to this in our classes, what takes up a lot of time in davening, when davening's on the highest level, it's thinking only of the letters. Only the letters. No thoughts at all, just to see the letters in the mind. With the kavanas of the Ariya Kodesh, of the unifications of the letters of Hashem's name. This is a very lengthy process. And the Svarim HaKadoshim, imagine saying Shemoneh Esrei. Try once one paragraph, seeing each letter separate in your mind before you say it. Each letter, not word, before you say it. It's a long thing. So the Mizritch HaMagid said, so this friend of the Mizritch HaMagid says, you know, Rebbeir, I also Baruch Hashem know the Kavanos of the Ari, so why, how come it took you so much longer than me? I put in all the Arizal's Kavanos. So Mizritch HaMagid said to his friend, "You're a businessman, aren't you? You're in business." So he said, "Yes." So he said, "And how do you make your panosis?" So he says, "Well, I go to Leipzig in Germany. That was where the big fair was for 3 months. I go to Leipzig. And in Leipzig, I spend 3 months investing and buying and so on. And then the rest of the year, I'm able to come back to Russia. And I learn, and the wife and the family takes care of the business. But I go for the 3 months to Leipzig." So the Mizrahi Magid said to him, "But I have a better idea. Why do you have to go to Leipzig? Why don't you sit over here in Mezrich and imagine being in Leipzig?" So the man said, What are you talking about? I have to go to Leipzig in order to get the merchandise. What's going to help me if I sit in Mezrich and imagine what it's like in Leipzig?" So Mr. Jamagid said, "That's the difference between me and you." He says, "You also think of the Kavanas of the Ari, but I go to that place." Now that's a scary thing, whatever that means. I go to that place. It takes a little bit longer for me, you know. I have to go there. I go to the place of the Kavanas. This story is meaningless for people like ourselves because we don't know. It's hard enough just to turn away from the window and concentrate for a moment, to turn away from things in the house, in shul. But the idea of tefillah as being a way of being transported mamash to another place, another time, when you enter into the words of tefillah, like it says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, "Bo al ha-teva, come to the teva." What does the teva mean? It means an ark, a boat. The Baal Shem Tov said that teva also means a word. And Hashem is telling every Jew, come into the teva, enter into the tevos of tefillah, enter into the ark. That means the whole world is meshuga, the whole world is a marvel, is a storm, and the only way to get out of that storm is by entering into the teva. Entering into the teva doesn't just mean to say the words, it means to mamish, try to be in David HaMelech's place, to imagine yourself in the Beis HaMikdash, to imagine, to think. So tefillah, on the highest level of dveikus, requires a great deal of concentration. A great deal of dveikus, and it takes you to someplace else. Mamish takes you to someplace else. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Kedusha Levi could give each of us a Shalom Aleichem from Yerushalayim? That would be a good thing. The last definition of the word tefillah is Zayin. Tefillah means hisbatlus, which means nullification, annihilation. To be mevatl, to annihilate, to destroy, nullify. This you could see from the Malbim's Perish on a Pasuk in Yechezkel. It's a hard Pasuk. I mean, if you have a chance, take a look at the Navi when you come home. It's a hard Pasuk. There are two psukim there that use the word tafel, tefel. It's in Yechezkel, the 13th parak. It says, "V'hinam tachim oisai tefel." So the Malbim translates that. So it literally means that they would daub the walls with tefel means like some sort of a whitewash. That's how they translated it. Some sort of a plaster, but it wasn't a strong one. In other words, if you hire somebody to build a house and he's doing a cheap job, that's the picture. It's not a good job. It's a white one. You know, he patches it up and it looks like it's good, but it's not really. So that's called tofil or tefil. So the Malbim says over there, tiach ha-machbid al-hakir u-bilti miskayim. It's a kind of a plaster that it makes the wall it's machbid alakir. That's really it. It weighs down the wall. It's some sort of a plaster, but it's bilti miskayim. What does that mean? It doesn't last. So it has an opposite effect. If you look in the Navi, that's what he's cracking about the Navi. In other words, l'chayre, it looks like the person is fixing the house. Really, what you're doing is you're making the wall heavier with something that is not miskayim. It's not even going to fix the wall. It's not going to. It damages the wall because the wall is going to collapse. That's what the Navi is talking about. Oh, so that doesn't sound like such a good word. So that's the word tof pei lamed. Tofel, tefel is loshen tefillah. Loshen tefillah. It's brought down in the Svar Makadoshim from this pasuk. What does that mean? The definition of tefel is something that is self-annihilating. It doesn't list. It doesn't list. Now, this is one of the deepest aspects of tefillah we're going to talk about more than the others. This is an extremely fundamental concept in the teachings of Hasidus, and particularly in Chabad, the concept of bitul hayesh, of the annihilation of self and what that means. It's a scary thing, but it's something that we could all work on, and we'll talk about it in Mitzvah Hashem. And the Hasidus will talk about it also a lot. Tefillah is a lashon of tefil, of something that doesn't list. That means that the person through davening is mevatel his yeshus. He takes away from his, he removes himself from that secure sense of being in this world. There's a certain sense of his batlus, of feeling one's mortality, of feeling that one is just a temporary part of this world. That's the notion of his batlus, to be bottled to something, to be bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, to be mevatel ourselves, and to become bottle, to become nullified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says, Aseh Ritzoncha Kiritzono, that you should make His will your will. That's the whole nature of a carbon. That's what a carbon is. The person imagines being mevatel himself from this world. And the sacrifice, the person that imagines himself being mamish a carbon, that gives himself up entirely for Hashem, that's the holiness of Yitzchak Avinu. That's the avodah of Yitzchak, of a Jewish person relinquishing himself and allowing himself to be completely taken over by Hashem. You all see that Yitzchak Avinu hardly says a word in the whole in Chumash, right? Yitzchak Avinu was so silent. Yitzchak Avinu, you see, Avraham Avinu is the kedusha of someone who wants to change the world for the sake of Hashem. Yitzchak Avinu is the kedusha of a Jew who wants to be changed for Hashem's sake, who allows himself to be drawn after Hashem. Therefore, Yitzchak's name never changes. You see, Avram is struggling to become an Avraham, and Yaakov becomes Yisrael, but Yitzchak bleibt Yitzchak. Because the whole thing of Yitzchak was just, and therefore he's blind. He's blind. He is nullified to what the Baruch Shalom, I am a kli in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, I've told you before that Yitzchak is a lashon of a yidus at tzaddik achosid HaKadosh. That the reshtevus of Yitzchak is a yidus at tzaddik achosid HaKadosh. Kamo shehu, by being mevatel his rotzen to the rotzen elin, to the rotzen of Hashem. Therefore, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, we'll end with this. Therefore, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Dug mismash, I didn't write this on the page, I'm just telling it to you. Dug mismash, Shemaskim im libo makaven raglev betfila. Rabbeinu Bechaya is explaining, why is it that in davening we hold our feet together by tefila? What's the purpose of putting our feet together by tefila? So he says, ki ilo raglev kivulim, a person should feel as if his legs are chained, are tied together on a mizbeach, like on the altar, like your carbon. That's why we keep our feet together by davening. Ein chefzo toli batzmo, as if you can't move, only where Hashem wants you to move. You yourself cannot choose where to move. You are chained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. V'tamezehu laharos bitl koyachatzmo, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, we stand with our feet together to demonstrate our willingness and our desire to be mevatel our own rots and our own will. Bitl koyachatzmo ki'ilo yodav asuros, as if your hands are tied. And you are giving yourself over completely to the one to whom you're davening. As it says by Yitzchak Avinu when he was on the Mizbeach, we know that according to Chazal, Yitzchak begged his father, Kafteini yofe yofe, father, tie me down very well. That's what he said. Why? Because I shouldn't move, because if I move, he might make a mistake in the shechting, and then the carbon will be possible, will be invalidated. So every Jew, when he stands with his feet together and his arms together when you daven, if you're saying, Abba, kafteini yofa yofa, Rabbeinu Shalom, tie me very well to your will. Tie me very well that I shouldn't have my own will. My will should be nullified before your will. My hands and feet are tied, and I live only for you. That's the avoid of tefillah. So every tefillah, a person becomes a Yitzchak Avinu by the Akedah. Every tefillah, one becomes a Yitzchak Avinu by the Akedah, which is a good kavan. Which is a good kavan. We should be zeichen for all the brachas of Yitzchak Avinu.